Today we are back with a special edition. For this occasion, we are honored to be joined by the Syrian journalist Sahel Edris. He came to give a two-hour talk to the Première 6 class about freedom of the press. Our guest talked about his career and the difficult conditions facing journalists in his native Syria. And for this, me and Umaima were lucky to attend his convention.
So, Sahra Idris is an investigation journalist. He had to leave his country, which is Syria, back in 1991, following to the imprisonment of his father and his uncle under the Hafez al-Assad regime. So we're going to ask him some questions.
Okay, so hello.
Hello, thank you for your interview here, which is in English now.
It's a pleasure. Yeah. So thank the you. First question, what path led you to journalism?
What path? Why? Since I was little students at school, I used to see the parents of my colleagues at school, like coming and going and taking my colleagues. I start to ask my mother, where is my father? I don't know where is he. I hoped at that time that my father to come and pick me up from school. In the beginning, she told me, well, he's out of the country. He's working out. I said, okay, he's working. I was proud. He's working out. And after that, I found that my father was in jail when I became like 14 or 15 years old. Because I start to grow up, my father is out, where is the letters? There was no email, there was no WhatsApp. So it was like either calls, direct calls, or letters, envelopes. So that after that, my mother told me and my family told me, he's in jail. I said, I still remember, in jail. And because my colleagues, now our neighbors, they start to say, this guy, his father in jail, that means his father is bad. He's a thief, he's a criminal. And I still remember, I started crying at that time. No, my mother told me, no, don't feel shy. Yes. Your father is not a criminal. He's for somehow called political reason, reasons I don't know at that time, but what I knew that I have to not talk, to keep silent, to not say anything. Yeah, so that's why I said, okay, maybe when I grow up, I will talk. I want to my voice to be heard for others. I want my voice to be reachable for everyone.
Yes, yeah, I understand.
So, what is the most sensitive and impactful subject you have covered?
Well, mostly the corruption and cheating. Cheating others and corruption. Before Arab Spring, I start to write against the people who are cheating, corruption, which is somehow corruption. And after what happened in Syria, also start continue working against corruption, either political corruption or economical corruption. Okay. So both, yeah.
Okay, thank you. So next question, how are the detention conditions in Syria?
Detention?
Yes, the condition.
It's very bad. It's not. I cannot describe it, say, very bad. If just imagine a person, a human life, normal life, died under torture.
Yes.
So imagine, I cannot describe it. Hmm. I don't know what happened to this guy at the last 5 minutes from his life for this person who died under torture. I don't know the last 5 minutes how he feels.
Yes.
Torturing in a savage way. There is actually no conditions. We cannot say conditions. There is no conditions. Mm-hmm. It's like we are living with no humanity.
Yes.
Place the detention people. Till now, the people who are released, and there are some of them, they are in Paris. Till now, they have they are under treatment, physical treatment, because of the torture they suffered.
Yes. Thank you. So what are your future plans?
It's like there are short-term plans and long-term plans. If I want to talk about long-term plans, the most important plans, I guess, for anyone, for any activist, whether human rights activist or media activist or journalist, is to build the peace-building media. I want to work. We are planning about peace building in Syria now, because the victims are the civilians from all sides. The winners now in Syria are de facto the corrupted people, political corrupted. Those are the winners. And they are using the civilians to fight each other. So to start build the peace among those civilians, the most important. So this is my long term. The short term now, like normal, to survive, to work. And yeah, to, we don't know maybe if to stay, to visit or to meet my other family who are scattered in Europe, in America, in Asia. So,
yeah. So thank you. And so, like you said, how do you live with this situation? It is hard.
It's hard. We're trying to adopt and adapt the situation. Yes. Nothing can be done. So either or to be depressed and to stay at home, or to start change the situation.
Yes.
So I'm trying to survive. It's not easy way, by the way. It's not easy, like, for example, to see your family only through Zoom or through video calls. It's not easy. But we're trying to always trying to adapt to say, oh, okay, tomorrow we have the hope. Actually, I can consider it and brief it by a hope. This is what keep us survive, the hope. Yeah.
So in your opinion, what qualities are required to be a journalist?
In Europe?
No, in your opinion, sorry.
My opinion, yeah, sorry. Yeah, my opinion, why?
Why? What are the requirements to be a journalist?
Oh, okay. In my opinion, the passion, to be a passion, to have a passion for, to be a journalist, to listen to criticism, not to attack, because everyone will attack you. This is always, because when you write against the corruption, of course, the bad people, they will attack you. They will pay money for people to attack you. So you have to ignore and to take care. But you listen to criticism, to what we call positive criticism, to improve your situation, you're working, to improve your manner, to improve your way. It's good. And to not say, I know everything. No. Learn daily. You have to read, to learn, to ask daily. There is no limit for knowledge. Always 60, 70, 80 years old, we are learning. You don't care. And to have a passion. If you don't have such a passion, so don't work. Because it's very hard for you to be a journalist without passion.
And so this is the last question.
No problem.
Do you regret being a journalist?
No, because I have passion.
Yes, I understand, yeah.
Yeah, I have passion. I don't regret, but sometimes I find it tough.
Yes.
I got a lot of attacks, for example, from all sides, from corruption, from regime, from opposition, from extremists, from terrorists even. I registered two threats in Paris against me. So it's always. So you have so I feel somehow it's difficult. I say, oh my God, why I choose this situation? So, but I go back. No, I have passion to be nosy, to put my nose everywhere. So, yeah. So I have this passion. I don't regret.
Yes, you're very brave. That's really impressive, in my opinion. It's really touching to hear your story. And yes, that's really interesting. So thank you to being here. And so do you want to make the conclusion?
Yes, maybe. So thank you for listening to us and to kind of tell us your story. It was really brave of you. And we're going to see you off to the next time, I guess.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you to our listeners.
Thank you. Thank you for the future journalist
in front
of me now. Yeah, you have the passion. I guess you have great future. I hope that one day I read articles or I listen to you through radio or the TV. So I would say, oh my God, I know very two famous journalists. They met me, Ariel.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, thank you.